Good evening, everyone. You are listening to Akashic Wisdom, and this is Donna Fox. We have a very exciting show tonight. We're kind of going off of the Akashic Record venue a bit, just a bit. But, you know, everything is a part of the Akashic Record, so we're not that far off. We're going to be talking to a lady who is a specialist in Louise Hay's work. She also does wonderful astrology and has wonderful workshops. And she's from my area of town. She's from the Cleveland area. And she and I appeared on a wonderful television program together, and I was very impressed with her work and decided to ask her on to Akashic Wisdom for your edification, for your information, and for your education, and for your deepening of spirit. And in just a moment, I'm going to introduce her. Right now, I would just like to say hello to all of my loyal folks that are out there. Thank you so much for all your emails and all your responses and all your phone calls. We had a great show last week. We were talking with the teachers of the Akasha, and would like to mention that, again, if you're curious about the Akashic Records, you can go to my website, which is www.akashicwisdom.com. You can go to the Akashic Record Consultants International website, and that's www.arc-akashicrecords.org. And be sure and log on to that website to find a teacher in your area if you're looking to learn more about the Akashic Records, or if you'd like to come to our conference that we're having in Odessa, Texas. We'd love to see you, your smiling face there. I'd love to meet you, give you a hug, and all that wonderful stuff. Now, so for no more time, we're just not going to waste any more time. We're going to talk to this lady right now. And what I want to tell you is that you can call in and talk to her as well. Let me give you the numbers to call in for tonight, and that those numbers are 877-876-5227. And that's if you're in the U.S. If you're in Canada, you're going to call 888-815-9756. Or you can dial direct if you're out of the country, and our country code is 01-530-876-3222. Now, I'd like to introduce to you a gal by the name of Evstar. Welcome, Evstar. We're so happy to have you here on our show.
Thank you.
Yeah, good. So I know this is late here in Cleveland. It's 11 o'clock at night, but it's early everywhere else, you know.
Okay, well, that's good.
So what we want to talk about is what you do, and we want to talk about how this can help people. Now, I know that you do the Louise Hay work, and you've been doing that for a while. So why don't you tell us a bit about what you do with that work and how it affects people, how you got into it, and things like that.
Okay, well, how I got into it was back in 2001, I was working for a social work organization who had to close its doors because there was no funding and everybody was out of a job. And so I had a lot of time on my hands, and I'd always been interested in the works of Louise Hay. And I decided to go to San Diego, California, and take an intensive 10-day training to actually study and become certified to teach the works of Louise Hay. So that's how it all got started 6 years ago, I think it is. Yeah, 2007, 6 years ago. And I went to San Diego, and I studied with people all over the globe from all parts of the world. And I came back, and I was a totally different, transformed person, and it was just an amazing experience. And then I just decided to take that work and that knowledge and that training and to start to help people here in the Cleveland area to actually learn how to forgive the unforgivable, to love themselves, and to heal their lives.
And tell us how you see your life was transformed. Can you give us an example of how your life was transformed from this work, or has been transformed from this work?
Well, I've kind of always been on the path for about the last 20, 25, 30 years, as far as when I say on the path, the spiritual path, the metaphysical path, and have done a lot of reading on my own, a lot of studying, reading the books of D. Deepak Chopra, Wayne Dyer, you know, any type of metaphysical material that I can get my hands on, studying The Course in Miracles, et cetera, et cetera. But to go to this training in San Diego and to come together with a bunch of like-minded people from all over the planet. I mean, I'm talking about there are people from Africa, from England, from Ireland, from Brazil, Germany, Austria, different parts of the United States, Canada. I mean, it's just a total amazing experience. And to just actually really, you know, let go of the ego and, you know, just kind of become one and realizing that, you know, we're all children of God, and to let down your defenses and, you know, just learn to love yourself and to understand that everybody is working at a level at their own pace, and, you know, we're all children of God. It's just an incredible experience. I don't know how else to explain it other than that it's just really, really eye-opening, really loving, just really, it touched my heart to just, you know, to let go of the ego and just become one with, you know, another human being. No matter what your beliefs were, no matter what your culture, no matter where you lived on the globe, and to just really understand that, you know, love is the key, forgiveness is the key, loving ourselves is the key. I don't know if that answers your question or not, but, you know, and as short as I can answer a question, which isn't always exactly short, that's the best I can say.
No, I think it's great. We hear a lot, you know, about releasing the ego and becoming one and things
mm-hmm.
like that. So I love to ask this question of different people because I get different answers, and they're all wonderful and expanding. So if you could compare your day, like a typical day before you had these tools from Louise Hay and your philosophy and the way you walk the world before, the way you walk the world before, and the way you walk the world now, how are your typical days different?
Wow, that's a very good question, Donna. Well, I can answer that in a couple different ways. The first way is, I think now that I try to look at each moment and not what's happening to me, but how I'm responding to what's happening to me. Let's say, for example, there's 10 of us in a group, and we leave the group and we go home, and each of us gets a flat tire on the way home. Well, we're going to have 10 different experiences in how we respond to that flat tire. All of us are going to have a flat tire, but all of us are going to respond differently to what we do with that experience. I think that's what I look at more now than anything else, is I can choose. I can choose to respond in an angry manner, or I can choose to respond from a place of peace and love. And I can look at what's happening in my world and what's happening outside of me and the people that I'm in relationship with, and understand that, you know, everybody is just where they're at with the knowledge, awareness, and understanding that they have at any given moment in time. I think I'm less judgmental than I used to be, and, you know, not that I'm still not tested, believe me, I'm tested on every day, but I can, you know, remember the training in my studies and think, okay, these people are coming from a place of fear, and they are reacting out of fear. And when we're coming from a place of fear, we react. We don't consciously choose our emotions. And so to take that extra moment in time and to actually think, how do I want to respond to this situation? Do I want to come from a place of peace and love, or do I want to just react immediately from the ego and just, you know, come from a place of fear?
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. And I think, you know, we all are challenged, you know, F-Star. We really
are.
We're all challenged. You know, it's like, you know, we're all works in progress here.
Yes.
And anyone who says that they have found the way, I walk away. Anyway, I mean, because there is no the way, you know? And but it's true. But one of the things that I have found from the records, and I'm sure you'll agree, is that that from this work, from working in this work to the depth that you do and the depth that I do,
mm-hmm.
that we come from a place of divine knowing, that when something comes up and smacks us in the face, our initial reaction, at least for me, used to be, and I still do, you know, get a little tick now and then, but normally, and when I catch myself, I actually can take a step back and say, okay, so why is this in my life? What is this mirror all about here?
Right. What did this come in front of my face to teach me? What is it showing me, and what do I still need to learn that I haven't finished yet?
Yeah, and the thing is, what's my soul's intention of bringing this forth? You know, I asked the records, I was having this one particular issue, and I kept saying, what is the core issue? Why do I keep bringing this forward? And I wasn't getting any answers. That was not making me happy. And so what I said, why aren't I getting any answers on this? And what the guidance just told me was that not everything, okay, had a deeper meaning in the fact that if I created something, it could be just a game of chess I'm playing with myself to see who wins.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I happen to have an issue myself with why,
yeah.
You know, and yeah. I always kind of want to find out why, and you're right, and sometimes really there isn't a why, it's just, you know what, this is just kind of, we just threw a monkey wrench in here.
Yeah, it's just a game.
Yeah.
It's just a game, and the quicker we can drop the rope, the more fun we're going to have.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, and that's I found that when we sometimes, have you noticed that we really take stuff so seriously?
That we really take stuff too seriously?
We take things so seriously, you know? It's like I was having a conversation with a wonderful lady not too long ago, and she was really into being perfect. And I really, my heart just opened to her because, you know, I remember what that was like to be afraid that I wasn't perfect. And then I looked around and I said, well, that isn't happening in this lifetime. We're not going to be perfect, and I guess we're going to have to deal with it. But, you know, what does Louise Hay say about perfection and that kind of stuff? And how can someone forgive themselves for not being perfect?
Well, what Louise says about that is that you already are perfect. You already are made in the image and likeness of total unconditional love, which is God, which is, in other words, say it in layman's terms, is loving yourself exactly where you are. And by doing that, then you will start to move forward to that perfection, so to speak. So let's say school, for example. You know, you go to school, you go to first grade, and you go to 12th grade, you graduate when you're in the 12th grade. Okay, so, you know, when you're in the third grade, you're at a third grade level and you're learning third grade stuff. And that's okay because that's exactly where you are and you're perfect right there where you need to be. So as you're going about your life, I like to tell my students, use the analogy of school and the classroom, because planet Earth is really a classroom. So wherever you are, that's where you need to be, and you're perfect right where you are. To not beat up on yourself, to not berate yourself, and to not get down on yourself, you know, if you're not making X amount of money, or if you're not, you know, X amount of weight, or if you're not with the, you know, perfect relationship. Wherever you are right now is where you need to be, and you need to totally love yourself for exactly where you are. And by doing that, is going to bring you to the place that you need to be next. And it's almost like a paradox. People don't understand that. If they're in a job, for example, that they don't like and they hate that job, that's not going to bring them to a job where they need to be any quicker. They need to love where they're at right now. Then that will bring you to the next step, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm explaining that.
Absolutely does make sense. I tell you what, we've got a caller on the line, so caller, just hold up for 1 second. We're going to get to you. But before we do, F-Star, I want you to give everybody your contact information, because I know there will be people who want to call you. And so give them your website and your telephone number, and then we'll take this call, okay?
Okay. The website is reachforthemoon.net. That's reachforthemoon.net. The phone number is 440-930-8865. And the email is a little tricky. It's evstarr, E-V-S-T-T-A-R-R, at yahoo.com.
Okay, great. All right. And evstarr is available for individual consultations and all, a bunch of things we're going to be talking about. And if you have an email question you want to ask us tonight, I want you to email it to akashicwisdom@AOL.com. That's akashicwisdom@AOL.com. My computer is on. I'm waiting for your questions if you can't get through on the line. And by the way, the lines don't roll over, so don't think that there's a lot of people in front of you. So as soon as this person hangs up, you can call right in. Okay, caller, thank you for being patient. Hello.
Oh, no problem. Hello.
And who are we speaking to tonight?
My name's Carrie.
Hi, Carrie. Where are you calling from?
South Dakota, actually.
Great. South Dakota. That's wonderful. So
yeah.
Talk to us. Talk to you. You have a question for F-Star? You have a question for me? You have a general question? What would you like to know?
Well, actually, when I had talked to Carolyn a while back, a couple weeks ago, she had said that with my records, there's actually a really neat symbol, but it was actually... she was done, and so I kind of wanted to see what you guys see on the records with a neat symbol. She said that actually Source had looked at my record, God Source had reviewed my records, which is very unique and rare and pretty cool. So I kind of wanted to see what you guys feel on that, what you see.
I'm not clear of the question, sweetie.
Okay,
there was like you had a reading with Carolyn.
Just a quick question, actually, on the radio,
okay.
And she had
so what? Go ahead and ask the question, darling.
Okay, she had saw a symbol on my records that had meant that God Source had actually reviewed my records, and I kind of want to see what that's all about, like what my records have to hold. I've had a lot of pain in my life, and I'm really having a hard time struggling with it. And I have a little boy, and I just really like to see where I'm going and what I need to be doing.
Okay, so here's what I'd like to just share with you for a moment, Carrie. Okay.
Okay. Great.
When I do a consultation with someone, I try to keep the questions rather general when we're on the air. That's number one. Number two, I would love to get your last name if you want to email that to me. That'd be wonderful. But however, what I want to say to you, though, is that what's important about, there are different styles of reading the records.
Okay.
Okay, and one is not better than the other. They're just different.
Yep.
And so the idea of symbols on a person's records has to do with a vibrational stamp.
Okay.
And your vibrational stamp is one that does come and is attached to the Elohim.
Okay.
And it's really important that you move into your own safety of knowing that you're cared for. Now, but there's a lot of stuff going around you right now, and it's really there's a depth of information here that has a lot to do with fear.
Okay.
And the fear has to do with an underlying aspect of a personal lack of trust. And so what would really be helpful, see, when I work with the Akasha, it's not about future so much, it's about the here and now and what's blocking you from being all that you can be. And
Evstar,
I've not experienced a reading for her, but she's going to get a chance to give her input on you for in just a moment. But
okay.
The idea here is that, and she doesn't necessarily work with the records, but she works in another way, intuitively or astrologically, etc. So you've got the benefit of a bunch of different worlds here for you.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But what's important here is for you, the number one thing that's coming forward is for you to begin journaling what you're afraid of to get it out of your body.
Okay.
And compare it to what you know to be your truth.
Okay.
Because what I'm hearing is that you have a lot of stories that you're making up. This is not a criticism. They want to bring out the awareness that there have been things in your life that have happened that they can be just events, but because of the belief systems of others, you've started spinning stories around them to create belief systems that are now blocking you.
Okay.
And so I'm going to stop for a moment. I'm going to let Evstar come forward, and then I would like to suggest that you call me privately.
Okay.
Evstar, would you like to respond to Carrie?
Okay, well, without, you know, knowing Carrie or understanding exactly what she's referring to as far as speaking with Carolyn a couple weeks back or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't know what she's talking about either, by the way.
Just coming from the fear factor, the fear standpoint is, in my work with Louise Hay, when we're coming from a place of fear, we're coming from something that is an illusion, as is explained in the Course in Miracles. Fear is something that's imagined. We're coming from, you know, something, an emotion unlike God, which I refer to as love. And the exercise that I use in my Louise Hay classes is to actually confront the fear, you know, like Susan Jeffers says in her book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyways, and to break it down to say, you know, okay, so let's say I did this thing, what's the worst that could happen? We do the what's the worst that could happen exercise. And so you ask yourself a question. So let's say I lose my job. What's the worst that could happen? Well, I could, you know, be out of work. And then what would happen? Well, then I would be blah, blah, blah. And then I wouldn't be able to pay the rent. And then what would happen? And then you take it down and you go with as many questions as you need to go, whether it's 5, 10, 15, 20 questions, until you get to the very, very bottom and you realize, well, nothing. Nothing would happen.
Yeah.
And I have my students do this exercise, and they take it as far down as to, well, then I would die, and then my kids would be without a parent, and then they would be, blah, and then they would be, and then, you know, and I take it as far as I can go until they finally say, well, then I guess nothing. So what you're doing is actually you're facing the fear, you're confronting the problem, and you're breaking it down and realizing that it really isn't anything. Our fears we create in our mind, and we make monsters out of them. And if we break it down and we face it and we look at it, there really isn't anything that's going to take away our peace. It's just something we've created in our mind. I don't know if that answers the question, but that's what was coming to me intuitively.
Yeah.
Is that helpful, Carrie?
Yeah, that's great. Can I ask one more quick question just about
Sure. My
little guy, Chris, if you guys feel anything or anything comes to you about him? He's just a really special little boy. He sees a lot of his angels and talks to them. And
how old is he?
He's just about four.
Yeah. One of the things that's important for you to do with him is to nurture him.
Okay.
And nurture him in a way that helps him understand how precious he is.
Yeah.
And one of the most important things you can do to teach him how precious he is, Carrie, is to really realize how precious you are.
Okay.
You see, children learn more about how to treat themselves by what they see parents do than anything you could ever teach them.
Yeah, very true.
Okay. And so because he is so special and so sensitive, it really would be helpful if you were to help him and write down what he says about the angels, so that he, when he's older and tends to forget, or
yeah,
when he's older and needs inspiration, you can read his words and his stories back to him.
Okay.
And then the next thing is to encourage him to draw pictures about what he's seeing or any stories he's making up.
Okay.
Not only the good stuff, but if there's things that are he's afraid of, encourage him to draw what he's afraid of.
Okay.
And like if he wakes up or he's got an issue or he's angry about something, ask him to draw it because he needs to pull it out of his body onto paper.
Okay.
Okay?
That sounds great. Thank you.
Yeah, F-Star, do you have anything else?
No, other than I was just kind of curious as when Carrie's birthday was and when her son's birthday is.
Oh, great. Good.
Mine is November 2nd of 81, and my son's is the October 2nd of 03.
Okay, well, just without going into depth in your chart, but just knowing that you're a Scorpio and he's a Libra, Scorpios tend to be very intense in how they deal with things. They can have the tendency to go from one end of the spectrum to the other. The pendulum swings very heavily one way to the other. They're extremists. So you might want to just look at that energy with yourself and maybe tone it down a little bit through meditation and prayer. And your son, being a Libra, he wants peace more than anything else in his life. Librans avoid confrontation at all costs. They need to balance their environment and their energies and their surrounding area. And they do that pretty much through beauty and through art. He's probably very artistically inclined and has a innate sense of beauty. So if you could encourage that in him, that would probably be very helpful. He really does need to be surrounded by balance and beauty, and anything that, you know, brings that peace and harmony to him would help him along his way.
Okay, great. Well, thank you guys so much.
You're welcome. And Carrie, my personal phone number is 216-691-1233, and my information is up on the web at bbsradio.com under Akashic Wisdom.
Oh, great. Thank you so much. I so appreciate it.
You're welcome. Now, you're in North Dakota?
South Dakota.
South Dakota? You know, there's a thing called the Edge Expo that comes up there into North Dakota. I think it's going into Fargo, and it's coming up in spring. It's a new age. It comes out of Minneapolis.
Really?
Yeah, and just as another, you know, if you ever get up to the Minneapolis, you're not that far from Minneapolis. I'm going to be speaking at the Edge Expo in November.
Really? That would be great.
Yep. So, you know, and you can bring a little boy with you. It's all children friendly.
Oh, awesome. That'd be great, yeah.
So take a road trip up to Minneapolis. You can go up to theedgeexpo.com. I think that's, you know, that would be it. Or if you, again, want more information, call me or email me. I'm happy to give it to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I will
all
do
right,
that.
All right, darling. You be
thank
well.
Thank you. Have
okay.
a great night. Thank
you. Thank you. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so we took our first call. That's kind of fun, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. But, you know, the other thing is you've got a course or a class coming up soon, don't you?
Actually, I do. I have, I'm actually doing a workshop at the Mind, Body, and Soul Expo, which is going to take place, and I know this call is going globally, correct? Internationally?
Well, anybody can jump on a plane and come. There are going to be some fabulous speakers there, including yourself.
Yes. Well, the headliners, Deepak Chopra and Marianne Williamson, they are going to be the headliner speakers at the Mind, Body, and Soul Expo. I am also doing a workshop there on the works of Louise Hay. And the dates for that, it's a suburb of Cleveland, Ohio. It's at Lakeland Community College in Kirtland, and the expo is running Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, September 7th, 8th, and 9th. And for information on the expo, they can go to thejourneymag.com, and they'll find all kinds of information out about the expo and the Journey Magazine, which is the magazine that I write for. And they can get information on tickets for Deepak, Marianne Williamson, or myself. And locally, I do have a lot of Louise Hay classes coming up in the greater Cleveland area, Rocky River, Avon Lake, and Warrensville Heights on the east side. And they can go to my website, reachforthemoon.net, to find out more information on when those classes are starting, which they're going to be starting all the first week in September.
And they're very they're reasonable and packed full of information for anybody who wants to know about that.
Yes, they are, Donna. Thank you.
You're welcome. You know, the other thing too is that there's a man that's going to be doing a lecture at the Journey Expo. His name is Shakti, and he is a student of the Akasha, but he's going to be talking about some wonderful things. So there's you, there's Shakti, there's all my wonderful friends. Clyde's a great publisher of the Journey magazine. For those people who would like to pick up a Journey magazine, I so encourage you to go to the website and see where the distribution sites are, or go to the website and see what's up. And because he distributes his magazine in Michigan and New York and
Toronto,
Toronto. So in other words, it's a regional magazine, and it's got lots of wonderful articles. I have an ad in there, you know. So we all love Clyde. So you want to put a nice big plug in for the Journey Mag, and so everybody should go to thejourneymag.com?
.com.
Okay. And again, if you missed any of this information and you want more, you can contact Evstar. You can contact me. Happy to give you more information about that. We have another caller on the line.
Okay, great.
That's great. Hi, caller.
Hi. How are you both?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
And what is your name?
Andrea.
Andrea. And where are you calling from, Andrea?
I'm calling from California.
California.
LA.
Wow, that's great. What part of California?
It's L.A.
I'm sorry?
L.A., Los Angeles.
L.A.? You know, I'm going to be in San Diego doing a Level 1 workshop at the end of September.
Okay.
Where I'm going to be teaching people how to access their own records in Carlsbad, actually.
Okay,
yep.
Sounds good.
Yeah, that's great. So talk to us. And you said your name is Andrea?
Andrea, yes.
Andrea. What question do you have for us, dear?
Well, I was wondering, since I've supposedly gotten a new job, and after waiting for 3 years being unemployed, and it's be a very worthy one. However, you know, I have to wait for them to get a grant in place for me to start, and it's already been like 3 weeks. And it's been the story of my life not to have a good job. And as far as good paying and worthy work to make me feel self-fulfilled.
I'm having a really hard time understanding you. So are you at a cell phone?
Yes.
Okay, because it's kind of going in and out. So,
okay.
So let me just feed this back to you so far to make sure I've got it right. Okay.
Okay.
You're starting a job, but you're waiting for a grant. It's been
right.
Kind of a pattern that you haven't had a great job up till now.
Right.
Okay.
This is a hard time, and it's not going to be great money. But the
It's
not going to be great money.
Okay.
But the cause is good, and it has potential to do great. But I'm just wondering, what can I do? I mean, or not? What is going on in my records? Because I would like to end the lack. You know, the money hasn't been great, the lack. You know, I always feel like I'm lacking something.
If I can answer this, Donna.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. My first thought is something that, you know, I've learned through the works of Louise Hay. In fact, I think she actually even wrote a book called Attitude of Gratitude, is to be grateful for wherever we are in our life right now and to not focus on the lack, but to focus on all of the good that is coming into our life. Louise says in her book, You Can Heal Your Life, that the quickest way to get yourself a better career or a better relationship or whatever it is to be grateful for where you are right now. So if I'm hearing you correctly, my suggestion to you would be to just start a gratitude journal, to sit down every single night or morning, whatever is the best time of day for you, and just write, you know, 5 or 6 things that you're grateful for, and to focus on the job that you have, and to actually be grateful for the things about that job, and to start, what I like to tell my students is to start projecting what you want as if you already have it, and to be grateful for that. So let's say you have a job and you're making X amount of money and you want to make, you know, more than what you're making. So to see that you're already making that and say, thank you, God, for my income of X amount of dollars. Thank you, God, for my most perfect job of whatever. And to actually be grateful for what it is you want to bring into your life as if you already have it. Louise is a huge believer, and, you know, I mean, she's, you know, just one of many who had the same thought, is to actually see your situation as if it's already happened, and to always see it in present tense, not someday, I will, I'm going to, I have, I envision, I am. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, because the first part of it, yes, I do. I do that gratitude journal.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the last part, I haven't done so much, so I need to practice on that.
Yeah, to get your mind off of the lack, because what you think about, you bring about. So
mm-hmm.
let's not focus on what isn't right or what you don't have or what's going wrong, because you're putting that energy there. And when you put that energy there, you actually create more of what you don't want. So
okay.
you know, get your mind off of that, and whatever little thing that you have to be grateful for during your day, you know, go out and take a walk, you know, do something fun, read a book, listen to music. Get your mind off of what's not happening and just, you know, do something else, because you're putting your energy on what you don't want.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, the other thing too, Andrea, it's the interesting thing here, what I'm hearing here, is that you, for whatever reason, you're carrying a lot of guilt about things that you have, that you said you were going to do but you haven't done. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so what's being recommended is that you let it go.
Mm.
Like, take all that unfinished business that you have,
mm-hmm.
and put it together in a little basket, and take a look at each individual piece, and make a choice about from a place of truth, of I want to finish this or I don't want to finish it.
Okay.
I want to complete this or I don't want to complete this. Because what I'm hearing is that there's some issues around this has nothing to do with truth or logic, but there's something that you're holding that says, I must do this. I don't deserve to be wealthy, to work well. I must take care of everyone first before me.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Somewhat, yeah.
So I really want you to look at the areas of your life where
mm-hmm.
you're doing what you quote-unquote think you should do.
Okay.
And really consider what you want to do.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
And that's real important. And the idea here is it's really important to start really looking at that and start telling yourself the truth so that you can really move into your own personal power.
Okay.
And then the other thing is, I think what F-Star had to say was fabulous, and I just want to put a bit of a tag on that. If there's a time in your life where you know, where your checkbook is at a minus, or it's really hard for you to say, in other words, like, It's sometimes it's hard for us to come from a place of abundance when we're sitting with a checkbook that has a minus balance.
Right.
And because then you feel like you're lying. And
mm-hmm.
so what and that's not at all what F-Star is saying. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying, though, is that if you can't get from a place, you can't get to a good place from a bad place. So what would be important is, if you can't get to envisioning yourself of how it feels to have all the money that you need right now, then instead of trying to envision that, the step before that would be to go to a place that makes you feel the happiest within you.
Mm.
If you can remember a situation or a relationship, or do you have any grandkids?
No.
Maybe you're not old enough. Do you have...
Well, I'm old enough, but I don't have any kids either.
Okay. All right, well, can you envision a time? Do you like animals?
Yes.
Do you have any?
No.
Okay.
Too allergic.
I'm sorry?
Too allergic to them.
Okay. All right. All right. So if you could envision a place, let's say, that you could go to within your mind's eye, that you feel totally and completely loved and accepted. For me, it's a waterfall on Maui. I just envision this picture that I've seen of this waterfall that makes me feel so peaceful and loving that I just imagine myself sitting there in this luxurious type of place, feeling totally and completely at peace in all this wonderful splendor of lush gardens. That's what works for me. Whatever works for you, to take yourself to a place that feels better than where you're at.
Okay.
Because once you feel better than where you're at, you're going to feel stronger. And once you feel stronger, then you can start having more of a vision about how to be the manifester and the creator that you are.
Okay.
And the other thing is to answer your question about what does it say in your records about why these patterns are, is again, the depth of the records work that I do is what I'm talking to you about right now is surface stuff. The depth comes when we talk one-on-one to find out what your core issues are and how to clear them. And I would love to be able to do that on the air, but it's too in depth to do that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. But I come to Los Angeles and to San Diego all the time, and I speak at expos and stuff. So if you email me, I will put you on my newsletter list, and that's for anybody else who'd like to. All you have to do is, if you'd like to subscribe to my newsletter, is just email me at info at akashicwisdom.com.
Okay.
And I'll put you on my email list, and you'll know when I'm coming in.
Okay. Well, thank you, lady.
Thank you very much. Hopeful is helpful.
Yeah, it is. It's basic and simple. It's probably all I need, you know?
Well, the simple is most profound sometimes when you really put it to work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you for calling.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Hi there, Ms. Epstar. Okay, so talk to me about the treasure mapping and the getting rid of skeletons and whatever what would you like to talk about right now? There's so much that you do to help people. What would you like to share with the listeners right now? We have about 15 more minutes, and we really want to talk a little bit about what you're doing. And if somebody else calls in, we definitely want to take that call. So,
okay. The treasure mapping, briefly, we'll go to that. Similar to what was seen in the movie The Secret, which has taken the world by storm, I believe they called it the vision board,
uh-huh,
is where you take your goals and your dreams and you put them on a poster board with pictures and phrases and, you know, gluing everything on there and putting the picture of yourself on the treasure map. And it's very powerful to put your stuff in writing, in black and white. And pictures, the universe responds very, very quickly to pictures. So that's just briefly about treasure mapping. And I do treasure mapping workshops in the greater Cleveland area, and again, for, you know...
Yeah, but you're willing to travel, aren't you?
Oh,
yeah. Come on, get out of your comfort zone, girl. Aren't you willing to go all across the country?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes, Donna, I am.
All right.
Somebody wants to contact me, just go...
There you go.
My email's all over the website. It's at reachforthemoon.net. That's reachforthemoon.net. And now let's go to the astrology and the astrology.
Okay, there you go. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, all you need to bring is have in a class about 10 to 50 people. She'll come out. She's got to pay her expenses, and she'll give you the price of the workshop, and you work it out. I'm telling you, this is an experience. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, Donna.
You're welcome.
And astrocartography, I just want to talk briefly about that.
I really am interested in that.
It's becoming more popular nowadays than when it first got started. When I first started studying it, I think the man's name was, I believe, Robert Lewis, who was real big into the astrocartography. It's where you take your astrology chart and you place it on the globe. And astrologers, myself included, have software programs that do this. You put your personal astrological chart on the globe, and an astrologer can look at that and read the lines and the aspects and the planetary goings on, so to speak, and actually tell you where you are best suited for, let's say, love and romance, vocation and career, friendship and family, retirement, education, or if you just want to go somewhere where your Uranus lines are for, you know, a real roller coaster ride of wild adventure, you know, whatever.
I want to live in a place where I can do my work and enjoy unlimited prosperity and feel fulfilled. And my birthday is September 20th, 1947.
Okay. Well, without having your chart information in front of me and the time and the
sea and
everything, you would look. I would be looking for your Jupiter line and your Sun line, because Jupiter is the Santa Claus of the zodiac, and wherever your Jupiter line crosses on the globe, that's all you have to do, basically, is get up every morning and just breathe. I mean, it's like
that's Christmas. That's where I want to be. That's it.
Christmas every day. You know, and unfortunately, not everybody's Jupiter line is a place that's inhabitable. I think my Jupiter line is in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. And, you know, unless
what's wrong with that picture, huh?
Well, unless I want to float around on a raft in the middle of the triangle, I'm not going to relocate out there. But for a lot of people, for a lot of the astrocartography charts that I do, there are Jupiter lines, there are Sun lines, and even Venus is a favorable planet to look for when you're doing astrocartography, are in places where people can relocate or maybe just go there on vacation and check it out. So again, like I said, without going into much detail, I know we don't have a lot of time, but basically you're looking for the favorable lines. You're taking your own personal birth chart, which is your own DNA, your own fingerprint of the solar system, so to speak, and an astrologer like myself is using, you know, extensive software and looking at that for you and checking out the different places on the globe where it would be most favorable for you to relocate or vacation or, you know, whatever it is that you have in mind. And again, that is called astrocartography. And for more information on that, you can just go to my website at reachforthemoon.net. And then all the information is there, and you can just email me from the website.
And so do you need to have your birth time and your location naturally then?
Yeah, you do need to have the birth time. And quite a few people do email me and say, I don't know what time I was born. It's not on my birth certificate. My mother doesn't remember, or she's since made her transition. And, you know, that is a difficult thing. Sometimes I work with people with muscle testing or the pendulum to just kind of get an idea of the birth time. But the birth time really is crucial. So
couldn't you get a sense if you saw their pictures to see where their features are?
Well, yeah, to try and find the rising sign, for example, because the chart's based on the time of birth, which sets up the first house, which is the rising sign.
Which is Libra for me.
Okay. Again, it's really crucial that...
No, I'm teasing you.
Yeah, it's really crucial that
we can
move
on, I promise. I was just teasing you.
Yeah, that you have the time. I mean, I have nailed it down where, you know, I'll say, okay, well, tell me this about your personality. Are you more blah, 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 or are you more blah, 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 blah? And then we try to narrow it down, but there's a wide spectrum. There's, you know, 30 degrees to each, you know, sign.
Sure.
And when you're working with the rising sign, you know, 1 degree could put you in a whole other house. You know, your planet could move from the 12th to the 1st, et cetera. So it really is important to know the time. But like I said, we can work with it, but it's more advantageous to you to actually know the time you were born.
Well,
and
now
most people do. I'd say 90% of people do.
Yeah, you know, you talk about, you have solar returns on here, too.
Oh,
I'm in a solar return.
Solar returns. Thank you, Donna, for asking.
You're welcome.
That.
I'm in one. That's why I want to know about it.
Tell you about that. Solar return is when the sun returns to the exact degree and minute as the date of your birth. So, for example, you could be in Japan today and have been born in Cleveland, and your solar return, if it's your birthday, within a day or two of your birthday, if you were in Japan on your birthday, then your solar return chart would be set up for wherever you were in Japan. So it's based on when the sun is returning to the same degree in minute. And then what happens is, then I look at that chart, you actually set up another astrological horoscope, so to speak, for the year of that birth cycle. So your birthday, again, is September?
September 20th.
Okay. So, yeah, so you just had a birthday a couple months ago.
No, I'm having one next month.
Have one, that's right. I'm way ahead of myself. Okay, we're only in August. Okay.
Yeah, I got it.
I'm thinking we're in December. I don't know where my brain is.
For those people who don't do math, well, I'm going to be 60.
Oh, my God.
You know, I know, I
don't. Over 40. So you would actually, it's a perfect time for you to have your solar return done. So an astrologer like myself would take your chart, and based on where you are on your birthday, 2007, set up the horoscope for that, and I would be able to actually tell you exactly what you can expect to be going on in your life between now and September, October of 2008. It would be like a 15-month forecast.
Oh, really?
That's
great. And again, these are fairly reasonable charts that people can just email you. And do you email the information back? Do you send them a CD? Mm-hmm. How do they receive this?
Okay. Well, obviously, if you're in the Cleveland area, you can come to my home, and you know, I would, you know, for extra fee, you know, take the time to do a personal interpretation. But I do a lot of charts through email. You email me. Give me your, you know, astrological information. You know, we converse through email, and I would send everything to you through email within 2 to 3 days.
And so is it printed out? Is it a personal forecast that you do?
Yes.
Or I see. So you take the information, and then you interpret all of it, right?
And then I send you a 15 to 20-page attachment through Microsoft Word that you can open up and print when you get it through email.
Super. Okay, and the prices are on your website?
Yes, they are.
ReachForTheMoon.net.
Correct.
Okay. We have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Okay. Got to get those contact information in there.
That's right.
Hi there, caller. Hello? I could have sworn there was somebody there. I heard the beep. Okay. All right. Hello?
No, they must have dropped
off.
They must have
hung up. Well, they're lost.
That's right.
Okay. All right. So you know, you have this workshop coming up that is, it's so reasonable. It's like $175. Is that right? Are you still doing that one?
Oh, the Louise Hay?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, it's a 12-week course.
Yeah, but isn't there something where they're going away on a retreat or something like that?
Oh, the retreat. Oh, yeah.
You see, people fly to retreats, and so they can come from all over the country for retreats, you see.
Oh, thank you for mentioning that. Yeah, I'm doing a retreat weekend in Pennsylvania. It's actually on the border of Ohio and Pennsylvania at Pamatuming, which is a huge, 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 beautiful, wonderful lake. And I'm calling it the Harvest Full Moon Retreat. And it's the weekend of September 28th, 29th, 30th. It's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And the retreat is based on the works of the movie The Secret. And I'm incorporating 6 of my classes into the retreat, including the Louise Hay, the treasure mapping, the Edwin Gaines, who wrote the book The 4 Spiritual Laws of Prosperity, also the Esther and Jerry Hicks with Ask and It Is Given, and Catherine Ponder, who's out of California, who did a lot of work with prosperity, and one of her most famous books is The Dynamic Laws of Prosperity. So I'm combining those 6 workshops in that weekend, and it's during the fall foliage, which is a beautiful time here in the northeastern area of the United States. And for information on that, you can just go to my website, reachforthemoon.net, and just click on, I believe it's on the past life and angels pages, and just find out everything that you want to know about the retreat. Thank you for asking me that.
You're welcome. Okay, I have a question from an email person.
Okay.
That emailed this. Okay, and it's a brief one about the Akashic Records, and it's from Patrick, and he wants to know how is it known what will be required for individual soul development based on what is contained in the records. Is there a formula of sorts to balance out to an ideal expectation, or is that unknown and based solely upon the individual's path? Wow, that's a mouthful at 3 minutes before we have to sign off. So I'm going to tell you what, Patrick. I promise to answer that question next week, because next week on Akashic Wisdom Show, you all that are listening, you are the guests. So get your questions in. I promise to start with that question, and or those two questions, and we'll have a nice discussion with that. I also have a lady from Arizona that sent a question about people in comas and how do we work with the records with them. And so there's a few questions starting out that we can start out with. So send your questions to akashicwisdom@aol.com, and I promise that I will be answering next week. You know, we're getting time down to the 5-minute line here, Evstar. You've just been a delight. I thank you so much for being on the show. If you would just give your contact information one more time before we close.
I'd love to. Thank you for having me, Donna. Okay, the information again is, the website is reachforthemoon.net, and the email is evstar@yahoo.com. That's evstar@yahoo.com. And my phone number is 440-930-8865.
Great. Super. And what I'd like to share with you listeners also is, again, if you'd like to subscribe to my newsletter, and Evstar has a newsletter. It's also on her website. Please subscribe to her newsletter. She has a lot of interesting stuff. But I also have a newsletter, and you can subscribe to that at info@akashicwisdom.com. There's a class coming up for Level 1 and Level 2 in Philadelphia the weekend of September 7th, 8th, and 9th. Please call me or email me on that. San Diego's coming up in for Level 1 and Level 2 on September 28th, 29th, and 30th. And I also have a prosperity course starting, a teleseminar starting on September 4th. Again, if you'd like information, please call me at 216-691-1233 or email me. And you've got all that information at bbsradio.com. Okay, we're going to close the records for this wonderful show. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones of all those listening in, as well as all those seen and unseen. We ask that their burdens be lifted, their hearts be opened, and may you all truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine. And with that, we close the records for the Akashic Wisdom Show for tonight by saying amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed, and Evstar, if you would all join me in saying amen.
Amen.
Amen, and it so it is. Okay, folks, have a great week, and we'll see you on the radio, on the Internet, next weekend. Bye-bye. Waiting for Dawn to come in.